For those joining us live at Collinsville campus, we're in the middle of a summer teaching series, and here's the thing. If you want to teach something or if you want to be taught something, it's not a one-time thing and move on with it. It's repetitive. It's over and over and over. And so this is an opportunity for you to learn more about your New Testament, possibly in the next 7 weeks that are remaining of this, than you have in 7 years of being a Christian. I don't know how long you've been a follower of Christ, but we have set up a way for you to be able to over and over again hear this book, read this book, and get to know it more and more. And so here's what I want you to do. If you don't have our app, I want to encourage you to download our app. You can have today's sermon notes on it. But here's what else you'll get. You'll get a link to this video. This is the Bible Project on YouTube. You can find them real easy. And here's what I'm going to encourage you to do. I know this is going to sound crazy. I'm going to encourage you, right after I say this, I'm going to have you say amen to me or yes or something, because right now you guys just look like you're looking at me and this is a really dumb idea, okay? So get ready to say yes. I need positive feedback because I have low self-esteem. Okay, ready for this? Here it is. All this week, I'm going to encourage you to watch this video, then read up to, I know this is crazy, like somewhere between 5 and 14 verses. And every day you're going to do this over and over again, and it's going to eat up a total of about 15 minutes of your life. But in a 15-minute period, you're going to put a whole lot of Jesus in your life. Amen. Yeah, thank you for that. I appreciate that. So church is not about Sunday morning attendance. What are you doing on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday? Yes, even Friday night and Saturday morning. Like, what are you doing to put more of God inside of you? And so this is something that we as a church have put together in order to help you find an easy routine to get into the Word of God. And so make sure to download the app. You'll also be getting an email if you're a partner here at the church. You'll be getting an email this afternoon just reminding you of the content of what this is. And so if you're joining us online, we're so happy you're out there. You know, I didn't ask for an amen from you. If you're watching us right now and you like this idea, give a thumbs up, give a smiley face, the little red face in the corner that says angry, don't click on that one. But every other one you're allowed to click on. Here's what I want to do. Anytime I get to get ready to preach, right now it's real simple because I know the book that we're preaching out of, because we've laid these out and here are the books that we're going to cover. But then you got to get in the book and you kind of ask the question, okay, what is it that I'm supposed to say out of this book? And there's a couple questions I get asked all the time as pastors. I'll tell you about one in a little bit, but here's one of them. How do you decide what you're going to talk on? And here's what's great. There are times that you get a thought, you feel like it's downloaded from God himself, you write the whole thing out, and you're like, that's it, now I'm ready to go. Rarely does that happen. God wants me to do something weird. I know this is, God actually wants me to push into him to try to find out what he once said on a Sunday morning. And he reveals it different ways. He reveals it through a story. He reveals it through the reading. He does it through research. And sometimes he does it because you decide to go to a local grocery store and you have a real life experience that you look back on and possibly regret. Now that seemed very specific. So let me fill you into what I'm talking about. So I'm going to be as vague as I can possibly be here because I was shopping in the local area around towns that we live in. And how many know nowadays you have two options when checking out? When you're checking out, you have where the checkout people are and they scan your stuff, and then you have something called self-checkout, right? So most of the times I enjoy self-checkout because I find that I can do it a lot faster than the people behind the counter because I think they get paid to go slower. Okay, thank you. I'm not the only person. It's like, you know, some of us have lives outside of your hourly pay. Let's pick this thing up a bit. But if you ever have vegetables, you always want them to check you out because the thought of putting it on there and then figuring out code and did I touch it and I weigh it too much and next thing you know, I have zucchini here, but that says watermelon. You're like, who cares? Like, so you don't, not that you would do that, but I'm just saying there are people who probably do that. So I decided to go through the self-checkout line, and I had very few things. I had very few things because I was getting them ready for my kids. We had a bunch of soccer this weekend and last weekend. And so I go there, and I start checking out, and I check out, and you got to put it in this little container in order, I guess, for it to weigh it to make sure you're not stealing something. And as I'm checking out quickly and efficiently, because that's who I am, the little counter started getting full. So I have spot in my little cart thing, so I start taking the stuff that I checked out already to keep checking, and it stops. And I go, what's he doing? And this lady behind the counter goes, you have to leave everything on here until you get checked out. And I was like, well, not at the other store, but okay. So now I'm unloading my grocery cart, which is no longer efficient, and it's kind of your fault. So I'm now unloading the grocery cart. I start going through, and I'm done, and no, I don't want this, and yes, I want, and here's my little code, which I don't even know why they have you put in those codes. Apparently, you get, like, coupons and stuff. I've never seen them. So I'm pushing in the code. I'm doing everything all right. Stick my little credit card in. As it's processing, I start unloading it, and the lady behind the counter goes, I told you, you need to leave your stuff on. And I didn't think she was talking to me because I'd left my stuff on already. So now it's saying, do you want to pay? And I'm hitting the button to pay. And I look over and I said, this isn't letting me check out. And she goes, well, I told, have you ever had someone smile at you? That the smile was, ha ha, told you so, but I'm supposed to be sweet here. Well, I told you, sweetie, I'm not your sweetie. First of all, I have one sweetie. She's back home and she's a lot hotter than you are, okay? So she don't have that haircut from the 90s. So I didn't say that out loud. I'm just saying there are people that would think that in their head. And she goes, I told you had to leave everything on. I said, I'm checking out. And so I have to reload everything to try to give you money. And this is roughly the time when so my receipt came out. And I had the opportunity to decide, what am I going to say to you as I'm finishing up here? And this is roughly where God just began speaking to me what I should talk about today. Now, how did this story end? Let's circle back to that in a minute. But when we look at this book of Titus, my question for you is simply this. If I start describing what's in this book, is this book written for right now in the years 2000, 2020, whatever? Is this written right now? Was this written 2,000 years ago? Okay, so I'm just going to start kind of rehashing what's in this book, and you tell me, is this written for now or back then? Ready for this? So in chapter 1, verse 12, it says this, one of Crete's own prophets said, Cretans are always liars, evil brutes, and lazy gluttons. Which, by the way, when I get to heaven, I got to ask Paul, did you write this as a jab? Were you some sweet lady behind the checkout counter smiling as you wrote this? Like, well, don't forget who they are. Like, so this is... So if I were to ask you, is this written 2,000 years ago or today? Here's how we could maybe reword this. You live in a world that there are liars. Okay? You live in a world where there's evil all around you looking to chew you up and spit you out. You live in a world full of consumers that always want to take and are never satisfied. Am I describing 2,000 years ago, or am I describing now? Just throwing it out there for you to think about. Because a lot of people think, and I thought Pastor Aaron's opening thought was fantastic. This is an old book with these old scrolls from these old men. What does it have to say about us? Well, if you just kind of read what it has to say, you go, maybe it could pertain to today. So then we go on to this. Ready for this? This is about the religious people. Chapter 1, verse 15 says this, to the pure, and all things are pure, but to those who are corrupt and do not believe, nothing is impure. In fact, both their mind and their conscience are corrupt. So if I were to say to you, a book was written either for 2,000 years ago or for today, and there are religious people out there looking to manipulate individuals in order for personal gain. Are we talking about? When am I talking about? Right? So let me say, there are religious people out there that preach one thing and do another, extol you to do one thing but actually live a different way. Am I talking about then or am I talking about now? And so here's what I would say. If there's a chance you look at all this and go, man, this pertains to as much today as it did back then, if you agree with that, say yes. Those online, say yes. I can make a pretty good argument that we could probably pull something out of this. Then look at this in chapter 2. Paul starts out by telling us that we need to continually teach. Well, if he's telling us, those who he's writing to continue to teach, couldn't you actually say this? For all of us, we need to continue to learn. There's something in your life that you need to continue to learn. Why? Because there's a world around you full of liars. There's a world around you looking to chew you up and spit you out. There's people out there wanting to take, 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 and never give, give, give. There's religious people out there that want to manipulate the system. And you need to be constantly learning. And why does he have to say this to us? Because let's be honest, learning on a regular basis isn't natural. We become very content in who we are, and we're fine just kind of being who we're being, yet we always crave to have something more and greater, but we're never going to change anything about who we are to actually achieve what we want, and so it's not natural about us. So here, everyone here today, listen to this. I got to tell you something. You need to be learning the Bible. You need to do small things like waking up and watching a very short video, then reading a few scriptures. You need to learn, and you need to learn, and you need to learn. But what is it the Bible wants to teach us? And so here's what we're going to do. We're going to break down a few more things that Paul wrote, but I'm going to change the language just a little bit so you can hear it today. How many in here would consider yourself an older man? Older man. Raise your hand. Be proud. Unless your arthritis not letting you. Kick it up there. Okay. So we got, if you're online right now and you're an older man, congratulations. You learned the technology. Really proud of you. So older men, here's what I want to say to you. Be sober. Don't live a life where you have to continue to numb yourself day in and day out by some type of substance or some type of thing in your life. Be sober. Older men, you need to have such regard. People need to regard you so much that they respect you. And if you demand respect, you'll never get the respect that you're looking for. The only way to get the respect that you want is people regard you as a man of honor. By the way, for younger guys, wouldn't you say, man, that's something I should maybe attain to? So older men, have self-control when it comes to decisions that you need to make, and don't say the phrase, well, I'm old, I get to be grumpy. I got to be honest, there's times I can't wait till I'm older because I think when you're older, you kind of have like this get out of trouble card because you're like, what do you expect? I'm old, I just say what I want to say, right? But maybe you shouldn't have that when it comes to self-control. And by the way, have a solid face and be generous with your attitude and your living. Can you imagine older men? How about rather than having your personal opinions on this, you have such wisdom in your life that it always comes from God, and you're older in your age, rather continue to hoard and continue to take. You just give and you give and you give because that's the type of attitude. I have a question. Would anybody want to know that type of an older man? Yeah, so okay, that's what Paul's writing about here. Is there any older women in the house? Don't raise your hand. That'd be like saying, hey, how much do you weigh? Guys, it's just there's questions you don't ask. But if you view yourself as a lady who's maybe been around for a few more years, here's what I have to say this. Know how to act in places and make right decisions at right time. Act like a lady. Act like a lady in these places. Be sacred unto God. Older women, and by the way, I want to almost say this to younger women too. You don't have to get used and abused by men in your life. God views you as sacred. God views you as separate. Be valued in your older age because you have wisdom and knowledge and understanding. By the way, this is straight out of the book, so I've just got to tell you this. Don't be a busybody and all about gossiping. Okay, I had women say amen. So when women say amen, that means I can go a little bit further in it because they want me to go a little bit further in it. I don't want to go further in it. But at some point when you're at home all day long, on the phone, texting, on Facebook, and all you want to do is give your 2 cents about it, anytime you bring someone who's not part of the solution into the conversation, that's gossip. And gossip does nothing good to help anybody around you. And do you really want to be a woman known as a gossip so that when a son or a daughter needs to talk to you about something, they don't know if it will stay with you? But women, this is how you should be. Don't give yourself over to mood-altering substances. This is what Paul says. How many, do we have any young men in the house? Young men, raise your hand. Wake up, I'm talking to you now. Okay, wake up. So you got any young men in the house ready for this? Before you get older, don't experiment with drugs and alcohol. This is what Paul's writing. By the way, is Paul writing this for 2,000 years ago or for today? Doesn't that seem really good just for today? So you don't have to experiment. And then, well, I'm young. I got to sow my wild oats. That's stupid. That's stupid. You really don't have to. You can live a life. Why? Because you align yourself with good things. There are bad people out there doing foolish things. You don't need to hang out with them to say that you did. He's saying, young people, align yourself with good things. And you know what? Give good. Did you amen that? Should I go further on that one too? Okay. Listen, bad company corrupts good morals. I'm like, well, that's a really fancy saying. It's almost like I pulled it out of a Proverbs. I did. Mama, you say nothing good happens after midnight. Now that I have kids, it's 9:30, okay? Backing that train up just a bit. You don't need to be up all night, because at some point, you're smart enough to get around parental guidance on anything. At some point, align yourself. Give respect, or be someone who knows how to give respect and reverence. To who? To the older men and women that are these people that have something to give you. And guess what? I know that puberty hit and you're a know-it-all, but you don't know jack. And I'm just old enough to be able to say that now. Why? Because I moved out of that age, and now that I have kids, I don't know nothing. They overtake me all the time. I'm in a lot of fear here constantly. I don't sleep. I've lost my hair as of last week. As you go back into podcast archives, and so ready for this, young men, watch your mouths. Man, I just always think, and I could be wrong, I think it's Top Gun, where it says your mouth is writing checks, your body can't cash, right? And like, that is true. We run our mouths. We need to keep it dialed in. Ready for this? Employees, by the way, if you read the Bible, I know it says slaves there, and I don't want to get off on what all that means and how it pertains, but let's scratch the word slaves and put employees. Ready for this? Do what you get paid to do. There's a novel thought. Ready for this? Don't steal from your boss. Actually show him that you can be trusted. And when he needs more trust given on someone, he will give you more trust. Because you know what more trust equals? More money. You don't get hired. You don't get paid more because you do less. You get paid more because they know that they can put more responsibility to make to problem solve when issues come up. Because you're trusted. And by the way, stop office gossiping and backbiting. That's what this is all saying to us right now. So why is this list so important to point out? Well, I said earlier that I always seem to get a list of questions, and here's one of the questions that I get. And actually, when I was able to get away with the NAV students for a couple weeks, this is what one of them that I got is, what do you think God wants me to do? So this is a whole nother question, but I just gave you a list of things that we're like kind of called to. So what do you think God wants us to do? So here's what life is. Ready for this? Life is nothing but a list of decisions that you have made. Who you are today is because of the decisions that you've made in the past. Amen? Right? Like this isn't rocket science. Who you are today, why you're sitting here, the education you do or don't have, the relationship you're in or you're not in, whatever it might be, you're that because of the decisions that you made leading up to this point. Ready for this? Who you're going to be tomorrow is a list of decisions that you make primarily that you make today. Right? So life is all about decisions, but let's be honest, most of us on a regular basis, we don't do good with making decisions for ourselves. And you can be like this, no, I'm just fine. Okay, here's a couple questions for you. Does anyone look back over their life and think, man, I really wish I wouldn't have made that financial decision or purchase in my life? Okay, so we're kind of all, now this one you're not allowed to say amen on, okay, because they could be sitting next to you. How many have a relationship, were in a relationship, or are part of a relationship that you look back over time and go, oh, man, I wish I wouldn't have been in that relationship. I wish I wouldn't have got into it. I wish I wouldn't have stayed into it. I wish I would have listened to everyone around me going, I don't think he's good for you. Right? Because sometimes, I'm so proud of you for not saying amen right now. Those of you online, I can't, Pastor Brent's with you, I'll let him deal with that, right? But how many times in your life have you made a poor decision when it started out with the sentence, hey, watch this? Right? Hold my beer. Challenge accepted. Like, how many have ever had situations in your life that turn out bad because you made a decision in time, in this moment, and this is what ends up coming out? And then we have this thing. We have this thing of regret. We have this thing of, how did I get here? And here's where we're at today. Even now, when it comes to the question, what do you think God wants me to do today? We're now faced with more life decisions. So I have this whole list of things that God's called us to. I'm still wanting to look at this question of, what do you think God wants me to do? Because right now, you are facing these decisions. Maybe you are a senior. You're going to be a senior. You just were a senior. What am I going to do with my life? Where am I going to go? What is my career going to look like? Possibly you're in a dating situation, and you don't know if this person's right for you, and you've been with them for a while, and now you've seen some things you're really not sure about in this job market that we have right now. Where should I stay where I'm at? Should I go somewhere else? Is the company that I'm working for going to even make it? Should I make this brand new car purchase that I've always wanted, which, by the way, this is on my list right now because, like, stuff is just falling apart. Should I make it last for 6 months longer? Do I put good money into an old car or invest in a new one? And even using the word invest proves that I don't know what I'm talking about with car because it's a depreciating asset and it's not an investment. It's a money pit, right? The tires are going to fall off, the oils are going to need change, and kids are going to hit it with a soccer ball and put a dent in it. So what do I do with my car? What do I do with my kids? Period. I'll leave that one there. We have all these things. And this is what I'm going to say. In reading this book of Titus, in this list that he has, and all the decisions that we want to make, is there one silver bullet? Is there one magic pill? Is there one question that we should be able to ask that I could answer everyone's question of, how do you make the next big decision in your life? And here it is. You ready for this? You may want to write this down. If you have our app, it's already written there for you. And ready for this? It's this. God cares more about who you are than what you do. And this whole list that Titus is, or that Paul is running through lists, this is who you need to become. But so often we think it's so important of what are we doing and how are we doing it and when are we doing it. And God the whole time is saying this, I care about who you are. I care about who you are as a person. And actually, I'm going to go ahead and steal another one of Paul's writing out of 1 Thessalonians 4:3. Ready for this? Because here's the question. How do I know I'm in the will of God? How do I know I'm in God's perfect will for my life? 1 Thessalonians 4:3 says this, God's will is for you to be holy. What is God's will? And how am I supposed to live? And where am I supposed to go? And who am I supposed to marry? If I marry the wrong person, am I out of God's will? If I don't do the right job, am I out of God's will? If I don't go on a missions field, am I out of God's will? God's will is so important. God's will is so heavy. God's will is so hard to know. No, it's not. God's will is for you to be holy. What does holy mean? Set apart, other than, separate than the world's culture. It means old men, live a life where people want to respect you. Old men, women, men, boys and girls, don't drink, don't do drugs, don't get intoxicated, don't be in the mood-altering states all the time. Don't gossip, don't backbite, be holy, be separate than. And when you're separate than, you can shine a light to the world around you in a way that no one else can, unless you're sitting in a grocery store checking yourself out and the lady's standing there going, you gotta put him back on there. So here's how this sermon came about. Because I'm loading everything up, unloading everything. Loading everything up, wanting to unload everything again. And she says her little snarky thing with her mask. It isn't even over her face. If your mask is here, you're not following the rule. You're not a rule follower. I'm not going to be a rule follower. Your mom's a rule follower. Like, it's just. So pull the credit card out, and the receipt comes out. I pull that out, and I go, is there anything else I need to do, or am I done now? It felt so good. I know. And here's what the worst part about it is. Here's what the worst part about it is. I checked here first. You guys know, to see if I had navware on. I'm like, I don't, and you don't know me. So guess what? I'm going to do this temporary thing to make me feel good, which actually proved I'm a part of the culture and not holy and separate. Yeah, I did. It felt good. I feel bad about it. And it actually, the story's even worse, but I don't want to tell you more about it. Because, no, we're out of time. Okay, so. No. Okay. No, because you're going to think I stole something and I didn't. Okay? But here's the great thing. Here's the great thing about this. I feel the pressure. So right at the very end, I'm coming through and we were out of Bisquick at home. And if you don't know me, like, I have a sweet tooth roughly this big. Like, it's, I don't know if it can affect other teeth, but I have multiple. My whole jaw, my mouth is sweet tooth, okay? It's just full of sweet teeth. And so I decided to grab Bisquick at the last second, and I put it in a little grocery cart buggy, and she was so annoying me, I didn't notice that I had it down there, and I got all the way outside, and I stole the Bisquick. I felt horrible about it, and there was no way I was going back in to pay for it. There was just no way I was going to go back in and go to. And then I thought, I'll just take it and set it back in there, but I know enough that they can't resell it then because I took it out of the store. So the next time I went, I bought Bisquick, and then I just put it on the counter, and I walked back out. So I didn't steal it, but in that moment, I wasn't going to go back in there and tell her I stole it. So there's no way we're going to produce it. For those online, congratulations, you're getting this sermon. Everyone else is getting the next one, so. But here's the thing. So I have this thing in my life, but the question is, am I going to let God talk to me about this issue? Because guess what? I was more interested about doing what I wanted versus becoming who God had called me to be. But I allowed, ready for this, I allowed the Word of God to do something in my life. And here's how I'm going to prove it. Yesterday, I was up in Springfield. My middle boy had a soccer tournament. First place, no losses. Short game, two of the teams up by 10. Shut up, he's fantastic. And so, and the rest of the team is too. So, but it's, so I go into the grocery store. I go in to get gas because he wants a Snicker bar. If you're ever with me at a soccer tournament, I'm telling him what he's going to eat, when he's going to eat it. And when he looks at me and goes, they get Rice Krispies. I'm like, you ain't getting Rice Krispies. It's 95 degrees out here. My job's to keep you alive. Drink more carbs and protein. Like, here you go. So at the end, I let him get a Snickers bar. I went in, the lady's behind the counter, and I go, how's the day going? She goes, man, I'm just overwhelmed. And I immediately, I'm telling you, because I allowed the Word to do work on me, I had a flashback to this other grocery store with, I don't remember, the ugly chick with the bad hair and all snotty. Like, compared to my wife, I should have added that. Like, but I had this moment where I said, I am so sorry you're feeling that way. I said, you know what? Just so you know, I drove all the way up here from St. Louis, and my boy just won first place, and he's got a huge smile. Do you want me to bring his smile in here, and maybe that would help you? Wow. He'll show off his medal. And she goes, no, that's all right. I go, I'm so sorry you're having a bad day. And we chatted for a second. As I'm walking out the door, I go, I hope your day gets better. And she goes, it already has. Why? Why? Because I want to be holy. I want to be separate than. I want to have an influence in my culture. And when it feels good to turn on someone and say a comment, how do I hold it back? And so, God, what do you want me to do? Possibly the question is, God, who do you want me to become? So the next time you have a financial decision in your life, God, who do you want me to become here? If you want me to become generous, but I'm becoming more in debt, how can I freely give when I'm freely in debt? God, I'm a senior in high school. I'm about to graduate. I'm about to graduate college. God, what do you want me to do? Well, God, what are you calling me to do? And in calling me to do, what job are you going to give me the freedom, either financially or in my schedule, where I can actually do this? God, when it comes to my kid, oh, we already have one kid. We have two kids. We have more kids. God, how many kids do you want? And maybe we just pull the goalie and let God decide what he wants. Right? There's all these kind of questions, and if we constantly are asking the question, who do you want me to become? Then I think this list that Paul writes for us becomes a little bit more clear that it's not about do, do, do. It's not about act, act, act. It's not about look, look, look. It's about becoming who God's called us to be. And when we are that people, we change the world around us. And so, God, I just pause right here, right now, and I say this, help us become those people. Holy Spirit, places in our life where we need to be snarky to someone across the counter from us. Holy Spirit, check us. Give us that moment of clarity to say, is this who God's calling you to be? Is this who you want to be known for? When this story is retold, what is the tale that you once spun? Holy Spirit, places in our life where we need to grow up as older men, older women, young men, young women. God, help us see the places where we are shortcoming your process in our life because of the decisions that we make, the way that our mouth is working, or even people that we're with. God, help us here. You know, I have a feeling most of you have your eyes closed right now as I just kind of went into that prayer. Can I just ask you to keep your eyes closed for just a second? The greatest thing that you can do to actually figure out who God's calling you to be is knowing who you're following, and who you're following is a man named Jesus Christ, who gave of his life 2,000 years ago on a cross. He died so that you can live. You are full of sin, and I don't even need to explain what that is. You know what that is. It's the dark places in your life that you wish no one knew about. God came to cover those sins and to remove them from your life so you can live the life that he's called you to. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you're watching us online or if you're sitting here, no one else is looking at you except me right now, and I have a very simple question for you. Do you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior so that you know who you're following and who you're becoming? And if you're ready to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm just going to ask you to simply raise your hand in the air just so that I can see that you've made that decision today. And his hands are going up here in this in Collinsville campus. For those watching online, someone's going to post something in your chat. If you said this prayer for the first time, make sure to like this comment. Maybe there's a tab that popped up in front of you that you could actually click the button yes. So I don't know if you said yes. I don't know if you liked the comment. I don't know if you raised your hand today. But could I ask everyone in the sound of my voice to say this prayer? Dear Jesus, today is the day that I want to become who you're calling me to be. And I do that by giving my life to you. Jesus, forgive me of my sins, become Lord of my life, and from this day forward, I follow you. God, I thank you for every hand raised. I thank you for every decision made. I thank you for every button clicked. And it doesn't matter what environment people are sitting in right now, Jesus Christ, you are there with them. And we thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.